Welcome, everybody, to The World is a Mess. I just want to steampunk it. This is January 18th, 2024. I'm your host, Steampunk Star Raisin. I'm here in North Hollywood, California. And you're here with my co-host, Daniel Bertison. He is in Bellwood, Ontario, Canada. This is a special birthday episode to me because today is my birthday. My birthday is on January the 18th. But yeah, depending on, you know, how you rate time traveler years, I'm either 100 or I am 39 or I'm 38 or I'm somewhere in between. It's a mystery. I prefer to leave it as such. But if I'm 100, it's in time traveler years. So what's going on, Daniel? What's going on with you, man?
Just chilling out and just wondering how you're doing. And is there any news on anything?
Like, there's news on.
Oh! I forgot to say.
Is news on, like, apparently Iran and Pakistan are at war right now. Apparently, Pakistan bombed Iran, and Iran bombed Pakistan in retaliation. So it seems like the Middle East is heating up. Could lead to a world war. Then you got United States bombing southern Yemen because they're bombing the Houthis, which they've labeled a terrorist group, but they're an ethnic group. They're not a. I disagree with labeling an ethnic group as a terrorist group. The Houthis are, they're an ethnic group of southern Yemen. They've been in war with Saudi Arabia for well over 10 years. So yeah, everything's kind of a mess.
Oh, I didn't know it was heating up like that.
Yeah. It is.
Oh. Well, these people, they were probably always at each other's throats, right?
That's one way you can rationalize it. Ooh, Live UA map added a whole section for southern Yemen. So yeah, let's talk about that because that's in the news. Let me go ahead and share. Oh wait, it's not letting me do that for some reason. Okay, there we go. Share screen. Yeah, Live UA map. Which is kind of like an open source map for regional conflicts, has added a category for Yemen. So this is all the chaos that's just going on in Yemen right now. Says here, Iranian foreign minister returning the Houthis to terrorist list. Is an unconstructive measure by Washington and raises tensions. And then you got all these bombings. The United States carried out another round of strikes against Houthi targets in Yemen. Because basically what's happening is you have like this here, very narrow opening in the sea. This is the Houthis are in a very strategic area. And, you know, they said that they're going to, any ships that are going to Israel, they're going to intercept. And so the United States Navy has intercepted Houthi missiles and Houthi drones. And it says the Houthi government says it is a great honor for our people to be in confrontation with the evil trio of Israel, U.S., and Britain. And then there's, you have here at approximately 7 or 8:30 p.m., they accessed one-way attack. UAS was launched from Houthi-controlled areas in Yemen and struck an MV Grinko Bacardi in the Gulf of Aden. God, I'm really bad with some of these names. I need to familiarize myself. But this is U.S. owned and operated bulk carrier ships. So now the Houthis are attacking shipping, and this has caused the price of shipping through the Middle East to go up in price, and shipping to Israel to go up in price. And they don't have anything, but you can see here Iran borders Pakistan, but there's been conflict between Iran and Pakistan as well. Let's see. Secretary Blinken, I spoke with UK Foreign Secretary David Cameron to discuss efforts to support Ukraine for what are more secure, stable future for the Middle East region. CENTCOM destroys Houthi militants' anti-ship missiles. CENTCOM, I guess that's the new strategic command. CENTCOM, the new term for it. You look that up because I sound like a complete. Stop sharing for a second. Oh, United States Central Command. That's all that CENTCOM stands for. Yeah, so tensions in the Middle East are increasing. You have United States effectively at war with southern Yemen. And the Houthi government there that controls most of Yemen. And you have Israel at war with Lebanon and at war with Hamas. And also Israel has bombed Syria. And then you have now Pakistan and Iran bombing each other. So I don't know where this is going to lead, but it feels like the precursor to a world war. So what's your opinion on that, Daniel?
I don't know. I'm kind of hoping this is like a just like a little thing will blow over because this is probably like a natural thing for these people, right?
It probably is. I mean, because they've been forced to. Why have they been forced to? So the problem is like the Houthis have been fighting against Saudi Arabia for a while. Saudi Arabia has an extremist Wahhabi Islam government, and the Houthis were tired of being dominated by Saudi government. For the longest time, Saudi Arabia was fighting a war with the Houthis with arms and weapons backed by the United States, and Saudi Arabia wasn't able to defeat them since they've pretty much consolidated into their own national government. And the Houthis are allied with Hamas and allied with Hezbollah. And they said that they would stop attacking shipping if Israel stops killing civilians, because what Israel is doing is paramount to like ethnic cleansing or genocide. So it's very complicated. It's not cut and dry, it's not black and white. There are many areas of gray. I
Yeah.
just, with these type of conflicts, there's not really any good guys. It's not like a superhero movie, man. There are no good guys in this. All
No.
bad, all bad.
So I guess Superman isn't coming to save the day, is he?
Well, if there is World War III and there is nuclear war, if there's you have missiles and ICBMs firing down, and I get irradiated and blasted. I will have gained the superpower to fly, man, because the my body will be light as a feather because it'll be made of ashes, and it'll and I'll build this to sky surf. I can sky surf and float through the air. I just won't be self-aware. Sorry, that's my dark sense of humor. But so I don't know. It seems like a large part of the world is at war right now because you got like Iran's at war with Pakistan, Israel's at war with Syria, Lebanon, and in Hezbollah and Hamas. You have the United States effectively at war with Southern Yemen. Southern Yemen is at war, and the Houthis of Southern Yemen are at war with Israel and the United States and Britain, because Britain, I think, has also got air support presence in the region. I'm not sure how they got air support because from Britain, because they, as far as I know, Great Britain doesn't even have active aircraft carriers anymore. But we, maybe they have an amphibious assault ship. But I'm sure a lot of that is sensitive information, and it's not going to be widely available on the news. But and then you got Russia's at war with Ukraine, and then you got the EU effectively indirectly at war with Russia. And then you have rising tensions between the United States and China. This all feels like the groundwork for World War III. Because if you look at like look at the last World War, World War II. You look at like what led up to it. There was a lot of things going all the way back to 1931. Even though technically World War II, from the US perspective, started in 1941, from the European perspective, World War II started in 1939. There were elements of World War II that started all the way back in 1931, and that was the Japanese invasion of Manchuria. And when Japanese invaded China, they took over a large portion of China. And the United States started arming and equipping, the Chinese National Army. And then you had Russia equipping the Chinese Communist Army. And so for a while, there was like a loose alliance between the Chinese Communist Army and the Chinese National Army against Japanese occupational troops and Japanese invasion in general. And Japanese basically did, that when they invaded Nanking, I think it's the city of Nanking, they spent like day they allow their troops to root to rape and loot the entire city, and they killed thousands and thousands of civilians. And so that was a precursor. And then you had Mussolini, who had global ambitions. He'd been in power since 1923, invade Ethiopia. And for a while, Italy controlled Eastern Africa. And they controlled the Eastern Horn of Africa, which is a very strategic area for shipping lanes. And so, there were a lot of precursors to World War II and a lot of conflicts that led up to World War II. But by the time Japan had actually bombed the United States at Pearl Harbor in 1941, Japan had already effectively been at war for 10 years. And, by the time, United States declared war in Italy and Germany after Pearl Harbor and declared war on Japan, Italy had already effectively been at war since like 1935 with the goal of conquering North Africa because Mussolini wanted to restore the Roman Empire. Because he was the fascist dictator of Italy. So I see a lot of parallels, and I just worry this is going to grow out of control. Especially if you have Trump in office. Trump don't give a damn about anything but his own narcissistic problems and his own narcissistic personality. And so Trump will be a chaos generator and possibly could make things even worse. But it's hard to
No.
say. This is a very chaotic year. I will say that. Very chaotic year in
It
global
just
conflicts,
started.
global history.
It just started.
Yeah, well, it's been chaotic since last year, but yeah, and we're approaching the 2 year anniversary of the war with Russian invasion of Western Ukraine. Russia still controls about a fifth of Ukrainian territory. It's been a stalemate since November of 2022. The front lines haven't really changed that much. So as interest turns on to the Middle East, the problem is that you have like the Republicans in Congress have no interest in funding a war in Ukraine, but they are interested in funding a war in the Middle East. So the Middle East is taking priority over Ukraine. And unfortunately, that might be the beginning of the end for the Ukrainian army because they're already short on supplies and they're short on manpower as well. And Russia is fighting the long game. And Russia can afford to suffer heavier casualties than the Ukrainians can. This reminds me in some ways a lot like the Eastern Front during World War II, where the Germans did very well in the beginning, and they even took over all of Ukraine. Even the Germans occupied Kiev, took over all of Ukraine. They went down to the Volga River, took over Stalingrad. They surrounded Leningrad, and they got within 20 miles of Moscow, and they captured millions of Soviet prisoners. But the manpower of the Russian army, the Germans got overconfident and thought that the war with Russia would be over by fall. And it dragged on. And one of the reasons why Germany lost was because they didn't have proper supplies and equipment for winter warfare. And they were low on fuel. They didn't have enough supplies to fight a long-term war. And Germany was the Nazis during World War II were incredibly low on manpower support. They had, manpower shortages starting in like 1942. They had problems like when a division would suffer heavy losses, they had problems repopulating those divisions because they had severe manpower shortages. This also impacted the German economy because once you take out all the able adult body males out of the population, now you have less people to work in factories. And I mean, they relied on a lot of old men and women because the Germans wouldn't allow women to be combat troops. But at the same time, I see some parallels. Like Ukraine did very well early in the war, but Russia's fighting the long game, and despite the fact that they've suffered heavy losses, so has Ukraine, and Ukraine has severe manpower shortages. That's why Ukraine has like a, they have an international legion with even some American volunteers in their international legion to try to supplement their manpower shortages. But yeah, the war continues on. Russia continues to strike Kiev with missiles. But yeah, so things are kind of a Debbie Downer right now.
Are there any casualties in this, or are the people evacuated when these attacks are happening?
No, I mean, some people have fled. Are you talking about Ukraine or are you talking about?
I'm talking, yeah.
Well, in Ukraine, there's been civilian casualties.
I know that, but I'm talking about like lately, like, you know, I don't.
I mean, let's see. Let me share. All right, you can see here, this is everything related. There's not really much has changed
Oh.
with the battle lines. The red areas are conflict zones that Russia controls. The gray is areas that Russia used to occupy but withdrew from. And the white is what the white areas and the gray areas are what the Ukrainian military occupies.
Okay.
And so, but Russia still controls a big chunk. It says here, Russian Foreign Ministry Affairs summoned French ambassador to Russia after Russian armed forces destroyed a hotel in Kharkiv and claimed French militants were there. Okay, so apparently there's blackouts.
Yeah.
I know that the Ukrainian military has been using its own cruise missiles to attack Russian infrastructure and the military. It says blackouts in Severopol, Sevastopol, in occupied Crimea. So there's apparently massive blackouts, but there's still heavy fighting, explosions reported in Slovenvinks. God, I'm terrible with these foreign names. Like, it just doesn't roll off the tongue well, like Eastern European names, or at least for me. I'm really bad at pronouncing Eastern European names r and Russian names. But yeah, there's a lot of heavy fighting. I mean, this front line has been pretty much the same. I know, like, Ukrainian military has also been shelling Russian areas and been hitting cruise missiles in Russian areas. Says President of Ukraine, Zelensky, held a telephone conversation with the President of the French Republic, Macron. So we'll see. I don't know. No end in
But
sight.
I hope they're smart enough and wise enough to like, just don't let this thing go out of control,
I don't think we are, because I think it's slowly going out of control. It might take years, but this could result in a world war. But we'll see. I tell you what, man, if we have World War III, I will be the first person to air surf with you. You want to air surf with me?
I don't know. I
It
don't
was a
know.
joke. It was a joke. Was a rhetorical question and a joke. But yeah, that's about it. Maybe we should talk about happier stuff.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear? Look at this. Madam Web's ending. Post-credit scene leak. Tobey Maguire is gonna be,
Well,
this is Tobey
don't tell
Maguire's.
me. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I don't want to spoil.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the movie looks like it kind of sucks, but I might go see it just out of interest. But it doesn't really impact the MCU though, because it's a non-MCU movie. It's more
Yeah,
Spider-Verse.
Sony.
It's more Sony, the Sony verse. Which they already established that Venom is in the Sony verse, and he was only that was such a bait and switch teaser. That I think it was at the end of Spider-Man No Way Home. You see a cameo of Venom who had been transported to the MCU, and he's like drunk at a bar, and he sees a news report about Spider-Man, and it seems like he was going to fight Spider-Man. But then he gets teleported back to his own universe at the end of No Way Home, which kind of kills that. Or what movie was that in a post-credit scene? I don't think that was in Spider-Man No Way Home. That was in another movie.
No, I think that was in Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's so many post-credit scenes I can't keep track. But yeah, that was kind of lame that they kind of lamed out on that, you know, where, well, they hinted that there's going to be an MCU version of Venom because, you know, like when Venom got teleported back, there was still a little drop of Venom left. We'll see what they do with that. I don't know if there's, that's going to be kind of confusing if you have an MCU version of Venom, or
Yeah,
maybe,
I mean,
yeah.
Sony owns the rights to those characters. How would
Well,
they,
maybe
why
they'll
would
just
they?
create a new character, but it's gonna basically be the MCU version of Venom.
Yeah, but how can Sony let Marvel keep
Well,
Venom?
I mean, they allowed Marvel to use Spider-Man, even though they control the rights to Spider-Man.
Yeah, but you know, I feel like this is probably temporary. Because they own the rights to it.
Yeah, the only way Sony is going to lose the rights is if they stop making movies. And so that's why a lot of people say they're making really dumb movies. Like they're making a Kraven movie, which is supposed to be coming out in August, and then you have the Madame Web movie. Like, who asked for a Madame Web movie? She's a C-list tier villain in this in the Spider-Man comics. A-list would be like, well, I mean, I know they've done a lot of Green Goblin, but they, you know, they've done Dr. Octopus, they've done the Lizard, you know, they could have done Scorpion, they could have done something else, you know, they, you know, they've done Venom, but why base a whole, I mean, they did a Venom, a couple of Venom movies that did mediocre, but it's like, why? You know, but why do a Madame Web and a Kraven movie? The Kraven movie looks so stupid. The Madame Web movie looks mildly interesting, but kind of dumb as well. But they say that the reason why they have to do that is to maintain the copyright to the characters. So they'll just do a low budget movie, do a low budget, you know, relatively low budget Kraven movie and a relatively low budget Madame Web movie. And it doesn't matter if it bombs. That just the fact that they do a movie allows them to maintain the copyright to the characters, or at least the movie copyright to the characters.
Yeah,
So,
but you know what? Joe always told me that Sony will never give the rights back to, not even if they stop making movies,
no,
they're gonna
because
find.
they make too much money. That's their number one movie franchise, is Spider-Man.
Yeah, but you know, even if they can't make movies anymore for like 12, 13 years, they still won't give the money. They will still won't
Well,
give the
it's in
rights
the
back.
contract. They originally signed a contract with Marvel in the 90s. And the contract states, I think they have to, like, out of all the characters they own the rights to, they have to make a movie like every 7 years or every, you know, something like that. They have to at least feature the character in the movie. And I don't know what the timeline is. It may be every 10 years. But there's an expiration date. Like, if you don't use this character for 10 years, then you lose the rights to it. And so that
Kind
would
of like what they.
explain why they're doing two lame movies. They're doing a Madame Web movie in February, and they're doing a Kraven movie. The Kraven movie just looks dumb. It's like, why are you trying to make Kraven a superhero? He's not a superhero. He's a psychotic killer who likes the trophy hunt. And he, and you know, in the comics, Kraven the Hunter viewed, you know, Spider-Man as a way to trophy hunt.
Oh, you know what? I think they killed off the character in the comics one time.
They did. It was called Kraven's Last Hunt. I haven't read it.
You remember? I think I remember
But I
that.
mean,
But
in the comics, Kraven was just really, he was a sharpshooter. He was really good with weapons. He had a lot of experience with hunting rifles and assault rifles. He knew martial arts. He was really good with martial arts. So in the comic book, at least the original version of Kraven, is that he didn't really have superpowers. He was just really skilled fighter and hunter and warrior. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
in Spider-Man, the animated series, he had like the super soldier serum where he took it and
Oh,
he
okay.
became.
Well, so they're adding on. The original version of Kraven was he didn't have any superpowers, but I get why they're giving him superpowers because Spider-Man has superhuman strength, superhuman agility, plus spider webs. And, so how would Kraven even be a match for him if he has no superpowers? So I get why they're having to do that. I'm just saying, in the original comic, it was just hinted that he was kind of like the Punisher. Like the Punisher has no superpowers. He's just really skilled soldier. He's a veteran. He has a lot of combat
Oh, about that.
experience.
Did you, hey, oh my God, did you watch the Echo series? You know what?
I have not
Apparently,
watched the Echo series. I had no interest in it.
they now canonized the Netflix series to the MCU.
Which Netflix series? There was a lot of them.
Daredevil, I think all of them, Daredevil, Punisher, all the Netflix, Jessica Jones, Luke
Okay.
Cage. Because remember, originally they were supposed to be a branch reality, but now apparently it's canonized, and it was on new rock stars who were talking about it. It was so, and the people are so excited now.
Well, I mean, yeah, I know that they filmed like 9 episodes of Daredevil Born Again, but they canceled it and now they're rebooting it again, so I'm confused. That
So
seems
it's not, yeah.
contradictory to what they were doing before.
Yeah.
Kevin
So apparently,
Feige, what the hell are you doing, man?
yeah. So apparently, like Wilson Fisk in the Daredevil Born Again series became mayor of New York,
They need to
and
bring back Sam Raimi. Have him direct some more MCU movies. I talked to Sam Raimi in
Oh, you
person.
did?
Yeah, during an autograph session at Son of Monster Palooza, which was back in like December. And Sam Raimi said that I complimented him on Doctor Strange 2 movie that he had directed that got his autograph. And I was like, yeah, you did a great job. And he's like, well, tell that to Kevin Feige, because I've gotten so much pushback on the way I did the movie. And I was like, well, I don't understand why they're giving you a hard time, because Doctor Strange 2 made almost $1 billion. It made like 930 million. So it made a profit. It did better than a lot of other MCU movies. So I don't know why Kevin Feige kind of sidelined him. I don't think that's right, but yeah. Oh. Yeah, probably the only thing I'm going to be doing for her birthday is I'm going to be building my girlfriend a gaming PC. I'm going to be, let's see, this will be something different we can talk about in the last 5 minutes. Here are some of the parts. Because my girlfriend's birthday was January 2nd, so we have birthdays in the same month. But yeah, it's going to be a i5 12400. That's going to be the CPU. And then I got, I don't really care that it has RGB, but I got a G-Skills RGB DDR5 kit. It was a really good deal. It was on clearance at Micro Center for $68. And then I got a 2 terabyte NVMe Gen 4 Crucial P3 Plus drive. And then an MSI Pro Z690-A Wi-Fi motherboard. This was on clearance for $89. You can't really beat that. The Z690 boards that came out like a year ago used to be super expensive, but now they have a Z790. But if you reflash the BIOS, these are still compatible with 14.10. It's a pretty good board. So, and then for the graphics card, it'll be an RTX 3060, 12 gig variant, because there's two versions of the RTX 3060. There's one that's 8 gig and one that's 12. This is better because it has 12 gigs, which is better for AI. Because my girlfriend is getting into like AI voice training and doing running AI apps. So she needs a graphics card with as much video RAM as possible. But this will be a good starter because the 8 gig version of the 3060 has less CUDA cores and is slightly slower. It's only like, I think, 10% slower, but it also has less video RAM. That one's the 12 gig version. So that's the core of my girlfriend's gaming PC because, she's got a Dell Precision workstation currently, and it's not capable of playing like Resident Evil Village because a lot of games would now require AVX instruction sets, which her she currently has it's a Xeon X5677, which is a quad core processor, and it does not have AVX. So I mean, it's a decent CPU for server, or if you're just building a basic entry level gaming PC, but in the long run, she's gonna need something more powerful. And the one thing I do like about this is a very underrated CPU, the i5 12400. Very underrated. This has six performance cores, zero efficiency cores. So it's a 6 core, 12 thread CPU. And a lot of people will disable efficiency cores because sometimes efficiency cores could create lag or slow down in games, and sometimes they can even create. I think Intel did do an update to Thread Director in Windows 11, which fixed some of the Windows 11 issues with efficiency cores. But a lot of gamers have realized, like, if you're running like, an i7 or an i9, a lot of times they'll just disable the efficiency cores, and the CPU will actually run faster in games. And so, interesting. Anyway, as always, we're running out of time. We got less than 2 minutes. Remember that this video, and I also got a previous episode I got to upload at the same time. This is the 100th episode of The World is a Mess, Steampunk It. And I mistakenly said at the beginning of the video, The World is a Mess, and I just want to steampunk it. It's essentially the same podcast, but it's been renamed to The World is a Mess, just The World is a Mess, Steampunk It on iTunes, on YouTube. It's now got its own dedicated YouTube channel separate from the amberstreet.com. But thank you for joining me for my birthday edition of The World is a Mess, Steampunk It, episode 100. I'm your host, Steampunk Starraisin, here in North Hollywood. And you're here with co-host Daniel Bertison in Bellwood, Ontario, Canada. You have a nice day, and I will see you 25 billion years. I will.